Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games, and you know we talk about the latest stories, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to the podcast too. And you rant about the podcast too. Just a thought, we're German and love the master, and kiss the cream the bridges. We do some good interviews, and you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Ashley, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to the podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
That is correct. I hope you love the podcast. So we are back.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you very much.
Yes. Chris Hondras there singing in. Jeremy Moss here leading the way. We're back after a short layoff. For those new to this thing, this is MWCConnection.com show, podcast, audio version of our written pixelated website. And like we said, we're talking football. It's all about football, but today's not about football.
No, absolutely not, which means that I'm going to have to change the theme song soon.
No,
again.
That's it for today. We can't, if we really want to, we can't discuss how David Carr wants to be Derek Carr's backup once he gets to the NFL. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did.
Coattailing it. That's all football we got tonight. We're talking hoops. This is all hoops. We were going to have a show last night, but I had some issues of getting recording-wise. And no need to bring the nonsense into why we didn't record last night. But we are, at a minimum, having our good friend Mark Cox back on. I think Brad Best is joining us, but I forget if he replied back to say yes or no. But we'll have a guest momentarily. But we got basketball. We were going to have two guys in Vegas, but we're down one man, and you'll be handling everything at the Thomas & Mack this weekend.
Yes, I will. And so I should go there in my Elvis suit and please the king of the Mountain West Conference.
All right, let's start off with this. We're gonna get into the game this past week, like the big game, New Mexico, San Diego State. But first, I want to ask you about how, for the whole season, let's go back to last year with your Boise State Broncos. They had a tough first-round game versus LaSalle, losing the opening round. They're expecting to bring everybody back, which they did. What happened? They're the sixth seed and lose to Air Force end the season. Tell me, what happened?
Honestly, I don't know what happened. This is a team that this season, for whatever reason, had a hard time finishing games. And it shouldn't have been that way. I mean, you lose at home to Wyoming.
Was that with or without Larry Nance Jr.?
But still, both teams scored a combined 90 points.
Oh, ugly. I remember that now.
It was a horrible game. And then on the other hand, you couldn't finish off the game versus UNLV at the Thomas & Mack Center, where they led the whole game until the last minute and a half. You know, you played San Diego State close both times, but once again, couldn't finish it out.
Did beat New Mexico.
We did beat New Mexico, and that was awesome. But at the same time, you know, we couldn't beat Nevada last week in double overtime, and we lost to Air Force in overtime. So this is a team where I'm counting up the numbers right here. I count at least six games where they lost by 5 points or less. Hmm. Yeah, at least six games. This is a team that was, what, 19-12? 19-12 so far. They lost six games by 5 points or less. And I'd say three of those games, they were leading the whole game.
Well, had they won, wouldn't they have been I said I had this tangent in front of me, but weren't they to be a higher seed if they would have beaten Air Force? Wouldn't they have been the because they are the 16.
If they had beaten Air Force, they would have been sitting in the four seed.
But I think being in the six is better because being in the four seed, no, because UNLV would have won no matter, or UNLV lost, so I think being where they're at is better because if they got in the four seed, they would be playing UNLV, who would have been the five.
So and we talked about this offline. I know I brought it up a couple of weeks ago offline in a chat conversation, but I'll go ahead and say this now: the sixth seed in the Mountain West is quite possibly the best quote unquote dark horse seed to be in, based off how the Mountain West bracket is slated. Because if you look at the first round games, you have Utah State, Colorado State, 8-9 seed. They automatically play San Diego State. UNLV, Wyoming get a first round bye, but they play each other at 4 or 5 seed.
And there's no Larry Nance, and UNLV is going to win.
Right. You know, and then you have Fresno State Air Force. The winner of that plays New Mexico. And then you have Boise State's in here playing San Jose State the first game and then playing Nevada the second game. And everybody's like, oh, you know, how's Nevada a 3 seed? Well, you're right. How is Nevada a 3 seed?
I know.
They got off to a very hot start, cooled down, and then finished strong with wins over Boise State and UNLV. That's how they're a 3 seed. And the question is, can Deontay Burton and the Wolfpack keep that heat going? Because if they can't, I could see the Nevada-Boise State game. I could see that game going either way. In fact, I would actually give Boise State the edge despite them being the lower seed.
That's what I was going to ask you about it because Nevada, well, you got Deontay Burton's going to be in the NBA. He's going to find a spot. I don't know. He'll get picked or free. I think he's going to have to stick around depending if he gets drafted or not. But they are the best spot because teamrankings.com. We're going to update this every day, but they put the winning percentage of each round. So technically right now, I'm sorry, San Jose State, but they put you at a 0.00 chance to win it all. That means no chance to win anything, which they were a 0.01 at one point yesterday. But here's the thing. If you look at the semifinal, to get to the quarterfinals, clearly Boise State's 93%. But here's the thing. Boise State's a 60th. They're put as the fourth team overall to win the tournament. Because they are actually, if you go by, it's San Diego State at 29%. Mexico 28, UNLV at 23, and UNLV is the 4 seed. They come in at number 4, 6 seed Boise State at almost 11%. Nevada, who's a 3 seed, is actually worse odds than Utah State and Wyoming. They're at 1.3%. And they actually give Boise State a 2-1 edge to beat Nevada. Because they're assuming they win, which they're going to. They play Nevada. Boise's a 67% chance to go to the semis, whereas Nevada's 31%.
And once again, whichever team makes it, was Nevada 0-2 versus New Mexico or 0-1 versus New Mexico during the season?
I'm pulling up schedules here. I'll get there momentarily on that.
I think they were.
I'm not sure.
I think they were. So, once again, Boise State played San Jose State. That should be a win. Somehow, miraculously, San Jose State wins, then you better watch out Nevada because San Jose State did. Their only Mountain West Conference win was against Nevada this year.
Good on you, Nevada.
Yeah, but and that's exactly what we've said about Nevada's had some real highs in the conference and then some real lows. But if Boise State scores off against Nevada in the quarterfinals, we're assuming this, I would give Boise State a slight edge. If that happens, they play New Mexico. We've seen that Boise State can beat New Mexico.
And even when it lost, it was a close game.
Yeah, and even when they lost, it was a close game. I have not seen Nevada beat New Mexico yet.
All right,
that's
Mexico,
part of what the statistics are based on.
Yeah, they played one time, 92-70, New Mexico won at the pit.
Yeah.
And with the TeamRankings.com, they do, I don't know how they do it, but they, I think they do, what, 10,000 simulations? And so these guys...
Something like that, yeah.
They know something like, they do thousands upon thousands of simulations. That's how they came out to San Jose, not never winning out of 10,000 times, which is fine. But then, I would still say, yeah, it's going to be, I would still put, I'd give Boise at least a field goal, 3-point, well, football term, the 3 to 5-point edge on a neutral court over Nevada.
Absolutely.
Makes
oh,
sense.
Yeah. And guess what? And this is the other thing I'm going to say. When it comes to the battle for Vegas, there's tons of alumni. There's tons of Wolfpack alumni in Vegas.
Correct.
But there's also tons of Boise State fans. And I think whoever has the stronger fan base in that particular game will hold the edge.
I think so. That's a good reasoning. And then if you look at, like, the All-Mountain West teams here, Boise State, they had Anthony Drimmick and Ryan Watkins. They had two guys make the second team. Where the only player, because here's from Nevada, it's Deontay Burton, and that's about it. Am I right?
I think so,
pretty much him. Like, looking through the, I haven't seen a ton of Nevada, and they're just, they got Cole, well, Cole Huff's pretty good, honorable mention, Mountain West. But they, it's, I think it's pretty much him and nobody else. That's it for the most part. Shut him down, Burton down, and you're good to go.
So,
what do you think about, I heard, well, did you see who won Player of the Year? Like, are you, any issues with Xavier Thames winning Player of the Year?
Absolutely not. Yeah.
I like our, David, our good friend David Ferker, kind of complained about to Jeff Grammer from the Albuquerque Journal because he did not put Xavier Thames. He had Cameron Barstow as the number one player, which can't go wrong with him either.
Barstow is a fair pick. But really, I mean, out of all of the first team, if you don't pick Thames, who do you pick? I would actually pick – I pick Deontay Burton over Cameron Barstow.
Yeah, and then some people were upset about Kendall Williams getting the first team because of what he did last year.
I also agree with that. I honestly think Ryan Watkins should be in the first team rather than
Kendall Williams, the other guy.
Either Williams or actually, I would actually put him over Larry Nance Jr. Just unfortunately, he's been out the last couple weeks.
The ACL tear. That's what I'm wondering. How can he make first team? I'm not sure when he went out exactly, but it's been at least a month, I think.
Yeah.
That seems odd. I know he's very good in the athletic forward and hopefully comes back for one more year. Injury doesn't hurt him too much, but he. I think first team's a bit much on him just because of he missed a month, almost a month.
Yeah, no, exactly.
All right, so we'll wait for our guys to come on. We're still kind of waiting to see who's hopping on momentarily, but did you watch? I know you don't get the channel, but did you get a chance to see any of the San Diego State New Mexico games?
I did not, unfortunately.
You missed
the game. I was getting live text feeds from friends who were at the game.
That's right, yeah, because if you were still in that part of the country, I'm pretty sure you would have been at the game.
Yep.
Would you be sitting with the show or somewhere else?
Oh, no. I would be sitting with the people who I usually go with.
Oh, I didn't know if they're student tickets or not, so I was curious.
No, they're not student tickets.
Before. All right, so with the game, did you kind of follow along so you pretty much know what happened and everything, right? Not just the outcome, but kind of pace of the game a little bit?
Yeah.
So, I'm asking you this question, and we're going to ask this to our when Mark or Brad or whoever comes on in a few minutes, I think we're going to come on. If not, we can handle the conversation. First off, I'm not surprised that San Diego State won the game because they're at home.
No, I wasn't surprised
New Mexico won the game at home. Very difficult both places. So, that's a wash. But what I'm surprised is how bad Steve Fisher outcoached Craig Neal in the second half. Because what he did with New Mexico was build in. Seriously, I watched the game on DVR because I was cleaning my house and doing things, so I had to pause and kind of caught up every now and then. I was seriously going to get to the point. If you're DVRing a game, you get the point. Okay, fast forward 5 minutes, okay, still a 12-point lead. I was at the point in the second half to do that. Say New State's going to lose, blah, blah, blah. Then I see him come back after I flip through. I'm like, okay, I'm going to stick with it. Then the key came when San Diego State has no big men. Very few. They don't have any centers or even really power forwards on the team all that much.
All they really have.
Yeah, and Fisher decided to go, and he's like, screw this. I'm going with my most athletic lineup. I'm going with all my scores, and I'm going to make New Mexico adjust to me and go. Because we know San Diego State is athletic no matter who they put on the court. Like, I remember last year, Jamal Franklin dribbling behind his back, spinning through his legs in the NCAA tournament versus Oklahoma, doing all sorts of crazy things. They have guys athletic-wise, and this year it's Xavier Thames, for the most part, doing that. He stuck in his best five guys, one quasi-power forward, and then he's like, okay, we'll run it. We'll tire out Barstow. We'll tire out Kirk. We'll see what Kendall Williams can do, which he should be able to keep up. And I remember, I think it was Reggie Miller who said during the game, he's like, I bet Craig Neal's licking his chops to play offense because you're going to post up Barstow or Kirk, which clearly
right,
is
no, yeah.
correct. And it came out to be, it's like each coach was stubborn. Craig Neal's like, I'm not changing the fall. Because Fisher was desperate at that point. He's like, I got to do something different. So he's like, why not run it? And Neal's like, I'm not going to play your game. I'm going to do my thing. I'll get the ball, slow it down a little bit, go down low, and get to Kirk and do it. But then, clearly, San Diego State's not going to play a man-to-man defense when they're outmatched. They go to that 1-3-1 zone, and New Mexico could not get the ball down low through the last 10 minutes of the second half, and they couldn't stop San Diego State at all. And that's why Fisher's the coach of the year. That's why Neal's the first-year head coach. But that was the turning point in the game, that 8 minutes where he just like, I'm just going to out-coach you. I've been doing this for 20 years as head coach. Just go sit down in your corner. I'm going to beat you. And I did. I beat you at your own game. I did my thing. You didn't adjust. And you lose because of that.
Yeah, and really, I mean, that's the kind of thing where Neal, if anything, Neal can learn from Fisher. Not just the athletic ability of the teams, but you're absolutely right in the out coaching, and that's a thing that if Neal learns as a first year head coach. After he gets manhandled in education-wise, you could put it, say it, after he gets manhandled, you know, coaching-wise, that's the kind of thing, if he turns around and he learns that lesson and he learns to use it, he will be a very effective coach. And if he stays in New Mexico, they are going to be a very, very scary team for the future.
Oh, no doubt about that. I think what he should have done, not that I'm a head coach, but I kind of figured – if he doesn't make a sub, he's going to keep that lineup the whole way. At the very least, he should have taken out one of the two big men to give him a better chance. Because with them playing that zone, they stretched it out so far. Because it wasn't like they're packing into 1-3-1 where they're sticking whoever played the highest position where he would be maybe just above the right of the three-point line. They were starting that at over on the like. Halfway between the, you know what I mean? Not like there's the half court, the 3-point line. They were starting it halfway, like in the middle of the 3-point to half court. So they already had the zone set up, and they even pressed too. So they pushed everything out. They couldn't get the ball. They couldn't get the ball up far enough with doing the press. But they kept extending the defense, and New Mexico just couldn't get inside. Even you would think if they pulled the defense out that far, at one point Barca or Kirk would be open at some point, but that wasn't the case. And that's how, yeah. Like you said, outcoached them. Craig Neal learned from it. But I still hope that this is a title game because I don't know who's going to win. Because the way I'm looking at it, I really think New Mexico is a better tournament team for the NCAA tournament. Because you have the two big men, you get the guard played Kendall Williams. They slow it down just enough, but they can still run a little bit. Whereas San Diego State, we saw last year, they lost to Florida Gulf Coast who ran up and down the floor on them and couldn't keep up athletically. Well, they could, but they met a team with as good as them. And if you're running up and down and not getting easy baskets, you're going to lose. Do you feel the same way? Who do you think would be – I don't care who wins the Mountainous Tournament. It's not going to be the end of the world for either team if they're in the finals. But who do you think is the better NCAA tournament team?
At this point?
Yeah.
I got to go with San Diego State.
Why is that?
Really, until I see New Mexico not blow it in an NCAA tournament.
I'm sure I was in person to see them lose to Harvard last, so they've never made it past the first weekend. Yeah. If we don't go with that, okay, I get your point. What if we go with just kind of how they played this year? Who do you think would be, not based off of history, because that is a big part of it, who do you think was the best team build-up, I'm saying? Like, who's structured to do the best? The
yeah,
best
no,
bring
no, no,
ball.
No. I know exactly what you're saying.
Either team.
I know exactly what you're saying.
You still think it's San Diego State?
I still have to go with San Diego State. To me, they've just they've looked better than New Mexico as a whole this year.
But sure, they beat Kansas on the road.
My biggest question is, San Diego State lost some steam here towards the end of the season. And that's my biggest concern about San Diego State.
Like, they lost to New Mexico and they lost to Wyoming, the road game, Wyoming.
Yeah. And
that's
both
two losses, man. Are those really bad losses, though? New Mexico's not a bad loss. They're
so Wyoming,
yeah. I would say, the only reason I would say Wyoming would be, losing on the road in Laramie is not terribly bad, but the way they lost, they're getting dunk after dunk after dunk, similar to that Florida Gulf Coast game. They're able to get behind the defenders and get easy points. That's where there's an issue.
That's exactly what that game reminded me of, was last year's Florida Gulf Coast San Diego State matchup.
I don't know why. I mean, how that happened. That was still with. I'm checking. I don't know if Larry Nance was even in that game. I think he was.
He was. He got injured that game.
Oh, okay. That was the game he got hurt. Yeah, he. Yeah, because he played and he had 14 points. Because the Wyoming, playing there is tough, but I don't know what it was. It's altitude a little bit. I can't blame that completely, even though it is an issue, a small part of it. But it's just they just kept getting beat and beat. And if they play a team that's athletic, they're going to lose. And I've been looking at who they could play. Do you know who I've seen a lot of brackets have this, a potential second-round matchup would be? Who would, out of all the teams in the – in the San Diego State has played over the years, who do you think they would love, like their team they hate the most that they could see early on?
If we're talking about tournament?
Yeah. Like, I see a lot of brackets have this potential round of 32 matchup. Who's the team that San Diego State hates?
Let me take a look here.
Who's the team you hate?
Let me think for a sec. They're played at a 4 seed right now, right?
Yeah. It's kind of, yeah.
You know what?
Got it yet?
Yeah. I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with... Because I've been kind of following the mid-majors this year. I'm going to go with Delaware.
You're missing them. Okay. Delaware is not going to be seeded that high. No, I'm talking about second round, not opening round, second round.
Oh, second round. Oh, okay.
Second round. Who's the team they hate? No, not just hate because of the matchup, a team they actually dislike greatly. You should get this.
Is this
like,
one that's like supposed to be standing out to me?
Yes. It should be standing out like no other.
UConn or Arizona?
Even worse than Arizona.
I said UConn.
Why
is that
UConn?
It?
Why do they hate UConn?
Oh, Elite Eight game a few years ago.
Brigham Young, University Cougars.
I don't see BYU here.
Look, are you looking at Chris Daubertine?
Oh, Daubertine? No, I'm not looking at Chris Daubertine. That's
well, there's a couple. It's not just him. He has San Diego State as a 3, BYU is 11. And I don't see why he would do this because he has a matchup again with – I don't remember. Maybe BYU played Texas. I forget. They played – I know they played Stanford. Yeah, they played Texas already too. But I've seen even a 4-12 or a lot of 3-11s where San Diego State could play BYU in the round of 32.
Oh, God. Now I just – oh, wow. Okay. Now I see it. I went to Daubertine's side. Okay.
Yeah, it's been other places as well. Maybe not 3-11, but I've seen not 4-12. It would be a 4-10 or something, whatever it'd be.
3-11, possibly.
Oh, no, 5-12. I don't remember what it was. I've seen whatever it may be. I've seen, yeah, it'd be 4-12, yeah. That matchup would be pretty intense, but they got to win, obviously, first. But I would love to see that matchup in that round because we know both schools hate each other in basketball. Remember that when the Mountain West tournament, BYU San Diego State at the Thomas and Mack?
Oh, come on, don't I? Of course I do.
You were there. You were at the Brandon. Was the Brandon Davies thing a San Diego State game, or is that a different game?
I was at the Brandon Davies game.
No, but who was it? San Diego State, or was it a different team you're watching?
No, University of San Diego.
Oh, that's right, USD. Okay, where you yelled honor code while doing a free throw.
That wasn't me.
Hey, that's no issues, man. Do what you gotta do. But that would be a pretty sweet matchup. So it looks like it's you and me tonight. So whoever is supposed to join us, I don't think they're gonna join us. Not a problem. We can continue our talk about hoops and everything. Okay, looking through, if there's a team not gonna win that, if it's not New Mexico, not San Diego State, is your default answer UNLV?
I mean, yes and no.
Yes and no.
It just depends on what happens.
Expound upon that.
So the bracket set, right? And so
yeah,
you see that UNLV, San Diego State, that potential semifinal matchup, and I see Nevada, New Mexico, or Boise State, New Mexico, that potential matchup. Larry Nance is out. UNLV should beat Wyoming, no problem. I do not see UNLV getting past San Diego State at all. So I think if somebody's going to knock off San Diego State, and if it's not New Mexico, it's got to be from the other side of the bracket.
Boise State?
It's either going to be Boise State or Nevada.
Do you think Nevada could beat New Mexico?
No.
Or would you say...
I haven't seen them do it yet.
Correct. However, would there be any reason to see what San Diego State did to... Because Nevada has some athletes on their team a little bit. They're not super athletic, but they got a bunch of guys on the team that can... They're playing Division I basketball. You're an athlete of some sort. Do you think that if it is Nevada... Say Nevada does get past Boise State or whomever that may be, would they do that 1-3-1 to just do what San Diego State did to stop New Mexico? Because that would make sense.
You would think. It just depends. It just depends on the coaching scheme and how well the players could match up in New Mexico.
Do you think Boise State could do that?
I think Boise State. Well, we've seen Boise State do it.
Okay, what about Nevada then? Because Nevada beat UNLV twice this year.
Yeah. No, you're right. Nevada beat UNLV twice or once?
Both times.
Both times, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right, huh? Must be something with the other team wins the Fremont Cannon, the other team has to win the basketball series. That's kind of cool.
Sure, why not?
No, yeah, you're right. Nevada beat UNLV twice. It just depends. For me, it just depends on how hot Nevada is going to be against in the quarterfinals against whichever team they play. If they come out like they've come out against UNLV and Boise State the past week, I could totally see beating New Mexico. However, if they come out flat-footed like they did against San Jose State, like they did against Nevada, like they did against Boise State the first time, it's going to be a long night for New Mexico. It's going to be a long night for the Wolfpack. But I think if if the winner is not San Diego State, not New Mexico, coming from that 3-11 side of the bracket.
The winner overall will come from that side if it's not New Mexico?
Yeah.
Like the whole thing? Beat San Diego State?
Yeah.
So you're saying if it's Nevada or Boise State versus San Diego State, you say those teams are going to beat the Aztecs?
Yeah, but you just asked me if it's not San Diego State, New Mexico, who is it?
Oh, I apologize. I was sorry. I get your point now. I was thinking of something else. So, yeah, obviously, it's good. If it's not those two, it's going to be – you think – so, whoever you – say, for example, UNLV gets – if it's – let me rephrase that.
Let's just put it this way. I don't think – Regardless, I don't think UNLV can get past San Diego State.
Okay, that's going to ask you. So, no, that doesn't matter then. So, if it's not San Diego State, clearly it's Nevada or Boise State.
I think San Diego State would have a more difficult time against Utah State if they squared off against Utah State than they would against UNLV.
They did play them close at the Spectrum.
They did.
Did they go to overtime? Was it over? I think it, yeah, it's overtime.
They went to overtime. Yeah.
Utah State. Interesting. Do you? Okay, if we're gonna pick an upset here, who's the most likely upset in the quarterfinals? Then would it be Utah State? Because I don't see technically Boise State would be an upset, but I don't see that being an upset over Nevada. What do you think is most more likely? Utah State or Fresno State over their respective teams, New Mexico and San Diego State?
Are we calling Boise State Nevada too close to call right now?
I don't think it's an upset, but you can. But I'm saying out of those other two, because it's going to blow the tournament open. But I don't think I don't see Boise being upset in Nevada by all that much. It's seed wise, yes, but on the floor.
No. I didn't mean seed wise. I'm just saying whichever team wins, that's not an upset.
Yeah, because did they also? Let me pull up their standings here again. But didn't they have the same Mountain West record at 9-8 or
9-9? Yeah. Yeah, I would give Utah State more of a chance of an upset over Fresno State over New Mexico.
Okay, now Nevada was 10-8, so whatever, one game ahead. But Nevada also finished 15-16 on the year.
Yeah, well, I mean that non-conference schedule was, you know,
didn't do them
extremely good. Anyway, so did you hear what I said though?
Repeat it, just in case I didn't.
I said Utah State probably has a better chance of upsetting San Diego State Fresno State over New Mexico.
I do. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think that's the best chance. So let's kind of wrap this up because I don't have too much more to talk about. We've spent enough time on this. First off, you're in Las Vegas. Well, no.
Yes.
Before we get to that, who's going to win? Let's just get right now. Who's your prediction on the record right now?
Oh, am I even allowed to predict it? I'm going as media.
Yeah, please. You're not calling the game. What are you, Kurt Herbstreit? I can't call the ABC game at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, and Oregon versus USC. But I like how this team quit. No, give me a prediction. Come on.
Right now, I'm going to go ahead and say San Diego State. Heavy favorite. They should win.
Interesting. Give me a quick reason
why. What's your prediction?
Give me a quick reason why first.
Give you a quick reason why? All right. This might not be very quick. San Diego State. Okay. San Diego State absolutely had to pick up after the game, right? After the losses on the road to Wyoming and New Mexico. Mm-hmm. The Thomas and Mack is not a away court advantage. People show up. People travel to San Diego State to go to this game, okay? And the way that the team has been playing after that loss versus New Mexico the last 2 weeks, blowing out San Jose State, blowing out Fresno State, dominating UNLV at the Thomas and Mack, and, you know, squeaking by New Mexico. This team is prepped, ready for the tournament. They're going to face Utah State or Colorado State, one of those two teams. They're going to beat them by whatever. They're going to dominate UNLV again, despite UNLV having the home court advantage. And it's just going to come down to whoever is that last game. And really, I think what we saw of Steve Fisher just completely out-coaching Craig Neal, I think it's bound to happen again. New Mexico and San Diego State, yeah, there's a neutral court advantage, but I think the crowd is going to go be more of a pro-San Diego State crowd than it will New Mexico crowd.
You really do? Because I remember last year, it was like the pit there last year for Lobos.
We'll
don't you recall last year's tournament? because we had our man Ken down there at the tournament last year, and he said it was Lobos everywhere. I get your point. I think there'll be more. Because even in Salt Lake City, there was a ton of Mexico fans for the NCAA tournament. Left disappointed, but there were plenty here. I'm going to go. I don't know what it is, but I really like San Diego State a lot. But I just think, I don't know. I'm leaning toward New Mexico because, no, I'm not. I'm because here's the reason why I'm not. I before coming in, even before the game played, and even I said this earlier on this show, I think San Diego State, New Mexico can make the better tournament run because they have the power forward play, center play. They can slow it down enough. They can move a little bit. They can score points if they need to, but they really want to do defense and get it inside. But then I see Steve Fisher going to blow the whole thing up and say, screw it. I'm going to run as fast as I can and push my zone defense out so you can't get the ball inside. I don't know how well that'll work in tournament play. They're not going to even do it until the final. I'm going to Aztecs because Steve Fisher, like you said, Steve Fisher outcoached them, did a better job. They have more athletes to get it done. So I think Aztecs are going to win. But not that this is any sort of qualifier. New Mexico is right there with them. They're just as good. But I think it's going to be San Diego State. And it's going to be a similar game. It's going to be come down to 4 to 5 points at most in that title game. And also, so people don't forget, the title game will be on good old regular over-the-air CBS. Not CBS Sports Network, not online, not on ESPN3, not on Versus. CBS Sports. So I'm assuming, do we know who's calling the game? I assume it's the crew with Doug Gottlieb, right? And probably
Steve Lopez. Is it not Uncle Vern?
No, please. He's not going to beat that game.
Oh.
Uncle Vern. It'll probably be Lapis and Gottlieb and maybe Reggie Miller. I don't know. But the game is that if I can pull up the right schedule for the game, I keep pulling up the wrong tournament schedule. I keep pulling up the bracket.
It's a 3:00 Pacific time Saturday afternoon game on TV.
Prime time, boys. They get the prime time treatment.
Prime time meaning prime time on the East Coast.
Yeah, man, that's all that matters, right? for us not living on the East Coast, we should still say that. Yeah, because here's how the games tip off. It's Wednesday. We will also be having these games on our website as well. One quick note for the games, all games and ones will be streamed live on our website. Also, every press conference. So, if Chris, you asked a question there, we've got you on camera. So, every press conference, every game on Wednesday, and every press conference throughout will be streamed live on our website. Thank you, Campus Insiders, for doing that for us. But we have them. But here's the thing, these are late games, too, man. Friday night, 8:30 Pacific tip off. So I'm going to ask you a question. You're in Las Vegas. You're going to be at the game. What should people do in Las Vegas? We know what Vegas is, so that's a dumb question, but guy who lives there, you're back there for a while. What should people live all day Thursday and Friday? What should they do before these games? I'm serious. Cirque du Soleil, if you don't go to In-N-Out, come on. What should people do? Go to the crappy $2 blackjack casino. That's all.
Are we talking about a tourists here or like
whatever? People got time to kill, man.
All right.
On Friday,
well,
the first game is until 6 p.m. on Friday night, local time.
No, you're absolutely. Honestly, I would go catch a show. You know, matinee show in the afternoon.
What show's
if you're not watching, if you're not whole into the watching shows thing, you know, definitely Red Rock. Drive out to Red Rock, go hiking, you know, lots of fun stuff there. Just go. There's tons of artwork in Vegas to see for free. And so, you know, that might be attract a crowd right there.
Hang out and watch some games maybe at the casino, some games.
What?
They got the Pac-12. They should go see the Pac-12 game maybe. Go watch the WAC.
Yeah, the Pac-12 tournament's going on at the MGM. Garden Arena. The WAC tournament is going on.
In Orleans, yeah.
You want to go watch the WAC?
Hey, you could see if there's a potential brawl between New Mexico State and Utah Valley if there's a rematch. You heard about that, right?
Yes, I did hear about that.
Sure. It was quiet for a minute. I'm like,
Actually, Friday night after the game, they just opened up a new music venue, and the Roots are going to be out here. Jimmy Fallon's music group.
Yeah, the Tonight Show. So what are they doing? Taking a quick flight from New York to Vegas?
Well, I think Jimmy Fallon's out in L.A. for a couple weeks doing the Tonight Show in L.A.
Oh,
so I think they're going to record earlier and then just drive out here. Because they're in Vegas the whole weekend. Saturday and Sunday they'll be with Elvis Costello.
That makes sense. I'm like, that's a quick turnaround from New York to Vegas, and the show's at 5 p.m. taped. Yeah, Roots, heck yeah. Roots, I like the Tonight Show. Jimmy Fallon's pretty cool.
You know, if you don't like doing any of those things,
go eat your money at the tables.
You can do that.
No,
go
investment.
Eat.
Go invest. go get lost in the city that's known as the Venetian and Palazzo Hotels.
You know, you can do that. Actually, one of my favorite things as of recent to do is there's a couple like small, like not really music venues, but like down at the Fremont Street Experience, there's always bands playing down there, just different bands. So I'd go check some of them out.
All right. Tourist Guide Chris, thank you for that. And so what's your role? You're going to every game. What are you most excited to see for in these games? Since you're going to be, as you told me, you're going to all 10 games, right?
Yes, I'm going to try and make it to every single game, which is an exhausting task, but it's well worth it.
People think, no joke, watching games, it gets exhausting. Like, I guarantee you on that Thursday, you'll be wiped Thursday night after four games.
I will tell you, so I went to the
Welcome
Speech
to the
team in the Elite 8 in Staples Center last year, if you
That's
remember
right.
that.
That's only two
I
games.
Was, that was only three. I
oh,
was... Yeah,
I'm
the Sweet 16, the two Sweet 16
day.
Games, and then, yeah, the Elite 8 game, I was completely wiped. And that game just completely wore me down because it's not just sitting and watching the game, but you're also, you know, writing. You're also kind of, you're playing reporter, you're playing, you know, journalist, you're playing observer. You have to, like, hold in the thrill of an excitement when something good happens. You just have to watch their neutral. Emotionally, it really is an exhausting experience to go to all these games. It's well worth it.
Yeah.
And as a fan, it's totally worth it. And I would suggest if you're a fan of any one of these teams, go and support your team.
Yeah, because I remember it gets tiring because you're sitting there. Like, I get at the Thomas and Mac, it's probably easier, but when I was at because of the college arena, when I had the NCAA tournament, it's like, okay, you get drinks and food and stuff, whatever. Just to run and grab a drink, it's a 10-minute run to get somewhere. You don't want to miss the game. So it's like if you don't come back stock with two bottles of water and a soda, you're like,
really, that's exactly what it is. I mean, the media, they provide food for us and all that stuff, but it's hard to get there and then back and then to your station, you know, that's underneath the stadium where you can go right and then back in time for the next game or, like, sit in the press conference and ask questions.
We're not complaining. We're just saying you're like, boo for Chris. He gets to watch all these games, but it's fun. It's work. You get tired. But heck, like I said, even as a fan, if you're at all these games for a whole weekend, for four games, you tell me I've done the NCAA tournament thing at University of Utah. Watch four games one day. Geez, it's tired watching four basketball games. Even cheering and sitting there and hanging out, just standing and watching.
Yeah.
All right. So, I think we're wrapped up here. Here's what we're going to do. Last thing. We're going to have. I'm going to guarantee. Should I guarantee something right now?
Sure.
Sure.
I'm not sure what you're going to guarantee, but I'm kind of scared of it.
I guarantee we will have the best coverage of the Mountainous Tournament anywhere. Is that too far-fetched?
It's a little far-fetched, but you know
what? Why is it far-fetched, man?
Well,
in one location, to get updates from every team, live video without going to a different page. Live tweeting, you're going to do video or pictures while you're there, correct?
We've got, you know, 22 staff writers who are also going to be writing and watching their games and probably covering stuff. And we've got, you know, and actually I do know a couple of our writers will also be at the game.
Mm-hmm.
Games. So
I wish I could be there, but stupid new job. Shouldn't say stupid
you know
new
what?
Job, but new job.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you know what? I originally thought it was a little far-fetched, but yeah, we'll probably have the best coverage.
Because you'll be there. My new job is a sports job, so I can sidetrack to watch these games and write a bit. You'll be tweeting about it. We know our normal guys are doing stuff. We'll get recaps, previews up. We will do an excellent job. So check out fwcconnection.com. We will, I guess I should email all of our staff to do a prediction. Does that be a good idea, you think?
Yeah, I think so.
We'll do, look for a prediction post. All, we already have one preview out, Colorado State versus Utah State. It's already up on the website. We have a bracket. I found the Twitter list feed put up for everybody to follow on Twitter. Use the hashtag MWBadness to find all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, like I said, Chris got San Diego State.
Expect
I have
a culture post for me for the next couple days or by tomorrow.
Yes, check. Okay, here's the other thing. I bet Chris will have more posts this week than you'll have in 6 months. That's not far-fetched.
Hey, that really says something about my writing ability, or does that say something about how packed it's going to be?
That means I'm giving you, well, I don't know. It just means your main resource is this podcast. You do some excellent updating gambling posts on betting for college football. You have a poem here and there.
I have other things planned.
I know, I'm just saying, your main skills is not writing. You do a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff and the podcast. You vet new writers, which we'll have another one shortly. So, like that, thank everybody for listening tonight. Again, MWCConnection.com, Twitter, MWCConnection. Chris will be handling that this week. Also, Greek Padre, he may double tweet up those things as well. And, yeah, check out the tournament, and let's hope your team does well this weekend. So everybody have a great time, and check out the episode again. SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher. Are we over the area on AM radio yet, or dial-up?
Probably not.
Not yet, but thanks for listening, and we will we'll do some shows this week as well. So everybody have a good rest of your day whenever you may be listening to this show.